So you think you got what it takes? You think you can record a podcast? If you dreamt of the glamour and glitz of being a podcaster, well, then you need to check out the Anchor app. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. So if you think you got what it takes, then you need to go to anchor.fm/start and get started today.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain,
Ricky Ricardo.
All right, everybody, welcome to a brand new edition of the Swift Kicks podcast. I'm Alex, and with me are Ben and Steve. I hope everybody had a good Christmas break. It was certainly a happy Boxing Day, and it's been a great couple of days after since then for the Premier League. There's been a couple of major developments since then, namely at the top of the table. Liverpool have dropped 4 points out of their last two games. They're still sitting top, but Man United are creeping in there in second. Ben, you got to be pretty excited about that.
Yeah, we are totally sliding into the DMs of the top four, getting into a title race, that's for certain. I think we're well positioned, especially after we got that cheeky little win in the 93rd minute against Wolves yesterday. I think we're looking like we're getting positioned to give a Liverpool a run for their money. The upcoming games, too, will really pave the path for them to put themselves either in first place. A win against Villa up and coming will put them level with Liverpool going into a game against Liverpool. It doesn't get better than that, boys. Super excited to see them kind of being able to get through some of the more tough games and really showing the resilience to pull out wins late. And, you know, no better man than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to tell us how to win late in a game. What do you think, Steve?
First of all, right off the bat, I was not happy with that Man United sliding in the DMs. That wasn't happy with that.
You're welcome.
Moving on, the Premiership, yeah, it's tight. It's real tight. Liverpool dropping those points, 33, top of the table. Man United with 30. A little bit of luck with Rashford's goal, but that's, hey, football's a game of luck sometimes. Luck gets you over that finish line.
Is it luck or is it consistently winning late in games? Because that's what it sounds like, and it's hard to hear.
That was a deflection. That was a deflection, so we'll call that luck with a capital L.
I'll take it.
But, yeah, I mean Leicester is at 29 points. I mean, it's just crazy that the top nine spots in the Prem right now, as it stands, are separated by less than 10 points. Southampton's at ninth place with 26 points, and Liverpool tops it out at 33. A win for Tottenham at 20 with 26 points completely changes the table. And I love just seeing that because it's just fun to watch. Alex, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, something that's really sort of been playing on me is the fact that Man United, they lost two potential points that could put them right now. They would be within striking distance of actually taking the lead of the Premier League if they hadn't have had a goal scored on them by James Vardy on Boxing Day. And I'm wondering if that's going to come back to haunt them, because I know Liverpool right now, maybe in a little bit of a poor run of form, but Jurgen Klopp, he's out there saying the table doesn't mean anything. Don't worry about it. But even on the other end, Rashford's saying it's stupid to be talking about title talk right now. But you know, both teams are thinking we're right up there. You know, this is kind of a classic Liverpool-Man United rivalry. And I think it's exactly what the Premier League needed. It needed a little, you know, old school rivalry to come back in. I'll tell you who else is also at the top. It's Aston Villa has two games in hand, and they could be right up there in this conversation just as easily. Yeah, I actually think that Leicester City, you know, they're going to drop down. Villa and Everton are two teams that I'm really eyeing to possibly be dark horses. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Villa and United's matchup this weekend is going to say a lot. I think both teams are comfortable walking away from that game with a draw because of Villa's current form. I mean, at the end of the day, you want to win 3 points, right? But I do think there's something to be said for, Villa being up there. And I think they're winning big games. They're winning games we expected them to lose. They're sticking around. They're staying relevant. I do think Leicester and Everton are starting to slip. And I think you guys are right that the table is kind of a bit of a sham right now. But I think you have teams that are in form that you need to pay attention to. And
who's,
you know,
in charge of the ship at Villa again? Is it Terry or is he assistant?
John Terry should never be allowed to coach ever. Just throw that out there.
He's part of the staff there, isn't he?
Dan Smith. In mind, though. Right. Dean. Alex. Yeah, whatever, dude. Yeah.
Back check Ben.
I don't have my glasses on. What can I say? Anyways, back to hashtag cancel Steve going viral in India. No, going back to the comment about Leicester, right? Like, you know, United did let a point or lose 2 points right there, and they could be in a position to really capitalize with a win over Villa. And, you know, they'd already be level with Liverpool with a game in hand. Yes, I do think that is quite the slip up, but those things happen, right? Like to go ahead and draw a team like Newcastle United, Liverpool really shot themselves in the foot, right? Like that's a bottom of the table team that deserved to be in the championship. And frankly, I don't think it's not going to happen. It's going to happen to everyone, right? So like United can get away with a draw. You can't get away with a loss, right? Yeah. That's where you're really in deep water. I do think though, Alex, is your proudest moment of this season as a Newcastle United fan a 0-0 draw?
It quite possibly will be. And I do want to give a shout out to the people at the Premier League who managed to turn 11 minutes worth of highlights out of that game. Because, you know, I mean, it was a defensive struggle, but it was, you know, it's pretty good. Carl Darlow, you know, in goal. I mean, when your goalkeeper is your basically one of your standout players, that's usually a problem, right? But I mean, truly, it was honestly the poor finishing of the usually pretty ruthless Liverpool side. Mo Salah, Sané, they all had a couple. Just Firmino had one that was just, you know, a sitter, and they should have really probably run away with that game, maybe 3-0. But you know, I'm glad to see that the team, you know, had a great, strong defensive play. Maybe it's something to actually build off of. And as a Newcastle fan, you know, all you ever really ask of your team is to put forth the effort, make sure they put a shift in every time. And, you know, if things happen, you know, sometimes that's the game. But more than likely, when you put in that effort, you know, good things will happen to you. So I don't know. It's Newcastle United, though. So, you know, we got Sheffield coming up. We'll probably end up losing that one. It'll be their first win of the season. But, you know, I'm happy with where we're at now. I don't know if you're a Liverpool fan, how happy you really are looking at your run of form. And you've got Man United clipping at your heels. You're going to play Man United in a couple, about 2 weeks time, right after they play Aston Villa. And if United, you know, are coming into that on a hot streak, I think Liverpool have some worries. Ben, are you feeling confident that they're going to beat Aston Villa and Liverpool?
I think we will probably walk away from Villa or Liverpool with 1 point. One of those two games we'll probably walk away from with a draw. I'm hopeful that it's a Liverpool instead of a Villa, because it really would separate the boys from the men if they do, you know, make that happen. That being said, Villa appear to be positioned well and, you know, rightfully so. I think United showed in the Wolves game, the scoreline doesn't really tell the real tale. Yeah, they did get quite fortunate late in the game to pull one back. They did have a goal disallowed because Cavani's forehead was offsides or something like that. But they looked like a good team. They had dominated possession. They had way more shots on target. They looked like they should have been winning that game 3-0 or 4-0. The 1-0 really didn't tell that tale. And I'm thinking that same form is going to continue against Villa. A win against Villa would position. And I think if United beat Villa, they're going to turn around and they can afford to draw Liverpool. If they don't, they're going to be playing for a little bit more hungry. Paul Pogba is coming into a form. He's not going to be scoring tons of goals, but the way he's distributing the ball and the way he's moving the midfield down the field is something that United really need. And it takes a little bit of pressure off Bruno Fernandes, gives him more space, and he's getting all the assists as a result of it. I think, you know, one of the interesting things to keep an eye on right now is it's easy for us to sit here and talk about the top of the table and how quickly it can shift. One of the interesting things going on is the bottom of the table is just as likely to shift quickly, right? Sheffield United are sitting on the bottom of the league with just 2 points, a very lonely 2 points as well. But they are only 2 wins away from kind of climbing up just a little bit. And I think, you know, Brighton, I don't see them really going much further than they already have. I think Brighton's going to struggle even with Danny world-class Welbeck. So I think, you know, all across the board, it's going to be interesting movements. You know, what is interesting is Tottenham's current run of form in playing the COVID game is going to allow them to postpone a bunch of games. And you're just going to forget about them in a couple wins. And all of a sudden all their players are fit. And you're like, hang on, why are they even in this running? So I think it's going to be interesting to see if the Premier League does do a 2-week shutdown. We know we're talking about that. Sam Allardyce is making pleas for that to kind of happen, to put a freeze on it. I heard a rumor from Scuba Steve earlier that he's only doing it because just now he has a job and they'd have to pay him for it while he's out as the new manager there. But the league's shaping up nicely, and I think United coming into Villa, they can win and they should win if they want to be true title contenders. I think if they beat Aston Villa, turn around and beat Liverpool, I think there'd be no question about it. We'd be talking about a title race.
Liverpool now only have, they've just lost Joel Matip to 3 weeks. He's had a groin injury over that last fixture. So that leaves Liverpool now with one adult center back who's fit in Fabinho. And the rest are youth academy players, and they're not adults yet. So but they're playing. So that'll be an interesting development too, with these few fixtures going into the new year, where Liverpool pan out after that, or even if they dip into the old transfer market.
I'm curious. Well, the COVID rules, right? Of like, if there's a COVID shutdown, that really benefits Liverpool. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of a sudden, those guys that are out for 3 weeks, they're only out for one game.
Right.
And I think that's something to keep an eye on. Let me ask you this, guys. Any coaches on the hot seat? We're sitting pretty right now. Anyone doing particularly well and particularly in danger of their job?
I think that Mikel Arteta may have saved his job. He's had two good games, Boxing Day game against Chelsea, where they just looked utterly dominant. And then, Steve, I don't know if you saw, you know, they also won 1-0 against Brighton. Danny Welbeck couldn't claw it back for them, I guess. But, you know, they're clawing back up into, 13th place now. So, you know, mid-table, and I don't really know what their expectations are for the season. I think it's a survival and rebuild season is how they'll brand that one. But I definitely think that Arteta has sort of earned his keep for a little while.
Roy Hodgson, maybe? I don't know. Him and Crystal. I feel like Crystal's kind of been starting to fall off a bit. I'm looking at their last five games are 3 draws, 2 losses. They're at 15th. I feel like Crystal were doing okay for a bit. Palace were doing all right for a second. Now they've just kind of been dipping. I don't know. I've heard that also Wilfried Zaha, I heard rumors of him going to, well, it was somewhere not Palace. It was him leaving.
Cancel Steve. Wilfried Zaha is low-key the best FIFA player, by the way. Like,
yeah, five-star skill moves.
Yep, and he's rapid. He is absolutely fat. Like,
he's a baller.
Yeah, he is. I think, you know, Roy Hodgson's an interesting shout. Old Roy. I think Sheffield United, if they don't turn things around, are going to be in that same kind of position. There's interesting things going on there, strictly because what's his name, the coach,
Chris Wilder.
Let's fact check Steve now, who's absolutely right, so take it back. So Chris Wilder, the thing with Sheffield United, right, Chris Wilder has come up with Sheffield, right? He brought them out of the Championship. His first year in the Championship, he put them close to the top half of the table. Second year, he got him into second place and promoted up into the Premier League. Last year, he got him into 9th place. So it's really the first year he's had kind of a lapse and kind of a falling off. So it's interesting. I kind of hope they stick with him, because it's nice to see coaches get more than just cutthroat treatment. And someone that played for the team and came up with the team, you would think would get a little bit of different treatment than one of the higher end clubs who purchased their way into the top four.
I'm always a fan of that when they stick with them.
Right. I think they need to make some adjustments though. They're sticking to the 3-5-2, and there's a couple of teams playing a 3-5-2 that are questionable, but to dominate with a 3-5-2, you really need some high caliber center midfielders that can distribute at the top level. And it might have worked in the lower leagues and when teams hadn't played against them, but it's really just not paying off right now. I don't think they have the personnel to make it work. That counterattacking football with not a star center midfielder isn't really going to work. So I think Sheffield United need to change up the tactics, obviously, right? Like, sitting on 2 points, it's time to call in a new game plan and see what happens there. I personally, I'm not the biggest fan of the 3-5-2 anyway. I think it makes you too vulnerable at the back. And in this league, when you're playing against teams that are all better at you, better than you, you're going to struggle with just three at the back.
Yeah. And Steve, you were reading something you said about, you know, how the pandemic has changed around people's tactics, or how maybe sort of newer coaches coming in with fresh ideas and things like that aren't necessarily working out. We're sort of going back to 80s tactics, maybe, or early 90s.
Yeah, it was more like the article kind of highlighted a transition, a regression of the evolution of football in a way. Going into that, unpackaging that, what it meant was more so about, you know, starting from kind of Pep's dynasty at Barcelona, starting in like 2008, the high pressing football style that we saw from there, and other teams have mastered it as well. Liverpool, you see Liverpool with our high press, Leeds United, Bayern have implemented it a few times as well over in the Bundesliga. You're seeing with COVID and how it's kind of scrambled our schedules around, where the players going into this season, they had a much shorter resting period. So their off season was extremely minimal because the last season carried over so long. So their off season was extremely short. Preseason was crammed. And then you're right back into another full season with a compact schedule. So the teams are automatically not as fresh as they would be kicking off the season. Where it really starts to affect the high press, according to this article, was that high press, an effective high press, takes time to tweak from game to game. Well, a lot of these teams now aren't really, the players aren't really training as much. They're more trying to focus on resting because the games are at such a high frequency that they can't really tweak the high press. So you're seeing less of the high press, and it's more kind of just teams kind of starting to, in the middle of the season now, kind of starting to regress more of like a kind of kicking the ball a bit more, playing a little bit more reserve, 1-1 draws, 0-0 draws. It's not so lucrative anymore. It was an interesting take, and I could see the points in it where these factors, external factors, are contributing to an alternate path of where things, had there been no COVID, where tactics and probably just the way football is being played was going, COVID has taken that into maybe a different direction. Will we get back on that path? I'm not sure. It was interesting there was some merit to.
I think that the schedule is playing a lot into that too. And I think every year around this Christmas time, right, the games get a little more compact.
Yeah.
There's a couple in quick succession. And I think because of that, you see players being told to play more reserved, right? Like, you're better off earning 1 point and being able to play that second game a week later with your A side than putting in some B players. You mentioned Leeds, and Leeds is a very unique team playing a very unique style of football. They're doing a strict man marking across the board. And I think it's really interesting to see how it works out. It hasn't done them real well in every scenario, but it's doing them good enough to keep afloat and kind of stay mid table. Yeah. One thing I'd like to see, and this is kind of a reach, if you will, but I think Phil Jones would really suit Leeds United's formula right now. I think that kind of man mark, and he's the kind of player that's very athletic, that's just a giant nuisance and good enough to be on a team like United on their bench. I think he doesn't belong on a United right now, and I think Leeds United would do well to go after him. He'd probably be pretty cheap. And he'd fit that formula. And there was a couple of years ago where Phil Jones was just told to man-mark Cristiano Ronaldo for a full game, and Ronaldo walked off the field kicking and screaming about it. So I think, you know, Leeds United, if they can win games with that formula, that might be something new to the league because no one else is really doing that man-marking.
Yeah, and Leeds are, you know, in a pretty strong position right now where I think that they can – sort of look at themselves, you know, mid-table right now, probably pretty happy to be in that place, you know, just having been promoted, and they're not in any danger, I don't think, of, you know, being in a relegation battle at all. So, you know, now it's about tweaking, you know, what they have, especially with the January transfer window coming up, what can they get going forward. Steve, I wanted to go overseas for you. Celtic have won 5 on the trot. They're still, what, 16 points behind Rangers, but you have an Old Firm derby coming up. You think you're going to win?
Mark your calendars. Mark your calendars. There is a 16-point gap January 2nd. We can close that down a little bit. I hope so. God, Alex, I hope so much. We need to get Rangers. We need to get one loss on that sheet, because if they get one, they can get more. Them having zero in the losses tally, the losses column, really just it doesn't sit right with anyone. I'm really hoping so. We just and again, we had a game today, Celtic, and we've came away with another clean sheet. Super happy about that. Celtic is beginning to keep the clean sheet. Not only are we starting to win games, we've won the last four, drawn the one before that, so we've been undefeated in our last five games for sure. But seeing clean sheets is promising, especially with how our back line has started the season, with the addition of Shane Duffy, hoping for some experience and backing from the board and to really go for 10 in a row. The season did not get off to the start that everybody wanted. But now after winning our first domestic trophy of the season, the quadruple treble, I'm hoping that this is now a turning point for Celtic, and what would be even greater with this turn of form, you winning the trophy, turning the form, rounding the corner, and then if we could just smash Rangers right in the beginning of the new year, that would be, I think that would knock them off their perch. I think that would rattle Rangers to the point where some instability, some cracks would start to show. I really do.
I mean, teams usually lose in bunches, right? Like, teams have good runs mm-hmm. of form, and then they break, and they got to learn how to rebound from that. That's for sure. I will say, though, as a diehard Rangers fan, I am looking forward to seeing Celtic walk off the field with 0 points as Stevie G carries on carrying that torch and showing the Scottish how to play football.
Well, I was impressed by Celtic's win streak, but I didn't know that Rangers have now won 13 in a row.
Yeah, so does that mean they've beat the whole league three times? Like, right? Like,
yeah, there's 12 teams. Yeah, 12 teams in the Premiership, for anyone who doesn't know. But, I mean, Celtic a couple seasons ago, we had an invincible season. We never lost a single game. I can't remember if that was 16, 17.
League should ever be weak enough that one team can go win without
losing. Arsenal? Arsenal, the Invincibles?
We don't talk about Arsenal like that.
Come on. Nullifies that point.
No.
Fact check, Ben.
Did you see that there was a Scottish team that, speaking of fact check, Ben, because you guys are going to be like, dude, what are you talking about? There's a Scottish team that had to cancel a game due to the field. They have like plastic turf, and the field was frozen solid, and it was deemed unplayable. That's Scottish football, Steve's premier choice for holiday.
I didn't hear about that.
The field in Scotland, it was Livingston, and it was against Aberdeen.
Okay, so that's the Premiership.
And it was today, wow. So it was real. Wow. And I fact-checked Ben and fact-checked that he was right. Go on, Ben. Third person, Ben.
I just want to put out there, too, that I know you were talking about January 2nd for the big old Fern Derby, but it's also when Albion Rovers returns to play against Queen's Park. And I think we all need to put, you know, our heart and soul into cheering them on January 2nd. You'll all be over your hangovers by then. Don't worry about it. It's Saturday. Plenty of time to watch the game. Get ready. Get ready in the colors. And, get ready to cheer them on and put your money where your mouth is as well. You know, send those donations our way. We're still working on buying them. Ben, how are we going with the lawyers learning Scottish?
So apparently it's actually English with a slight bit of dialect difference.
Geography.
Yeah, geography, who needs it? But supposedly there's a bunch of words that no one understands on both sides. They had some whiskey and we're still in talks. So we haven't been thrown out of the league yet. We'll say that COVID is causing a delay and the language barrier is a work in progress, but you know, Swift Kicks will be the owners of them within the next couple of years. At the very least, we will get ourselves on their jerseys. I did find out a price to sponsor their kit. It is way less than you'd think. There is a chance, but we need your money.
Before we depart Scotland, because I know it's coming up quick, we don't spend much time on Scotland in our episodes.
For good reason.
I do think it's interesting, and I think this is still true today. We may need to fact check this, but the SPFL as still refusing to allow fans inside the stadium. We're just south of the border in England. Fans, obviously, by the four-tier system, but fans in some capacity are being allowed back in stadiums and have been for, what, most of December, half of December.
So yeah, that goes into the politics of it a little bit, right? The Scottish government has its own COVID protocols, which I think is interesting. And I will say, you got to be a diehard fan to be outside in Scotland this time of year where the pitch is frozen solid. And
they just need the money. They just need the ticket revenue, because a lot of those teams, I mean, you could probably say the same for lower levels of English football. You say lower levels of football everywhere, but especially in Scotland, where money does not come in abundance, not having that ticket revenue is
dude, that's the culture of the game, though, man. Those lower level teams in England, like, yeah, and Scotland's probably pretty similar, right? I would imagine, having not been, right? But I know, like, anytime anyone says they're going to visit the UK and they're like, oh, I'm going to a United game, I'm going to Arsenal game, for some reason everyone goes to an Arsenal game, I try encourage them to go to like a lower level game. And then I tell them to just try be quiet too, and not that obnoxious like fan, because it doesn't fit in well there. But it's just a different breed of fan, and it really is the culture of football. You lose it a little bit at the Premier League. And I think that's really what you found in the Scottish Premier League as well. Is that there's just that sort of heart that comes out from the community to get behind their local club. And I think that's something beautiful. So to anyone that is visiting the UK for a first time, don't just go to the big name games. You can afford a ticket as well. If you can go to a big name game and you're traveling overseas like that, splurge a little bit, buy yourself tickets to like Swindon Town, Peterborough United, go enjoy real football. It is what it's all about.
Absolutely. And Steve, I just want to, so it looks like no fans are allowed in anywhere that's like tier 3 or tier 4, and pretty much everywhere in Scotland currently is in tier 4. So that's
so they're using the tier system, it sounds, but everybody is just in tier 4 is basically from my understanding. Correct. Okay.
Yeah. Ben, I know we want to stay overseas a little bit here. I know you picked up an interest in Serie A, and we've got what, two teams from Milan, Inter Milan and AC Milan, both at the top of the table, separated by only 1 point. What's piqued your interest in it again?
So primarily the Italian league is back. So with flops being on the rise globally, I think the Italian league softness has kind of worn off, right? Like, everyone thinks of Italians as the divers. Sorry to anyone that's offended by that. It's life. But the reality to it as well is you actually have a real interest in table right now going on in Italy. And to give a little bit of a history lesson, in like 10, 15 years ago now, right? Like 2006, 2007, maybe 2008, Juventus were given a ban for a cheating scandal. And I think it really took a huge toll on the league. Them having to go down a league and pay some fines really cut them out of it. With Cristiano Ronaldo returning to Juventus, as Juventus have made their return to the top of league, Serie A, that just brought some fresh energy into it. With Ronaldo going over there as well, it brought in new marketing deals, more camera crews, more investment in television deals, and it's really helped rejuvenate the league. But the best part about it as well, because you think of Juventus, you think of Cristiano Ronaldo, and you think of Italian soccer, Juventus aren't even in the top five, right? Number one and two is AC and Inter, right? Separated by a point. And it's just been refreshing to see that that league get a little bit of a spark back to it. And who's leading the league in top goals on top of it all? The lion himself, Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
I'm sorry, I'm just laughing to myself over here a little bit, because it's a segment that's coming up. We're going to talk about where are they now, and it's got to do with the Italian leagues, and it's just the most perfect story. So stay tuned for that.
Did you just tease that? Did you just put a teaser out there?
I did a little bit. Some of us in the business call that a
teaser. Ooh, Alex.
Some of us in the business.
Got me all hot and bothered, my friend. So.
You have a grandfather.
Well,
leading the league.
Congrats on the sex. But the grandfather thing. So our granddaddy's Zlatan, the world's favorite granddaddy.
Granddaddy of this podcast.
Brian Dorset.
So granddaddy's Zlatan is leading the league with 10 goals, sitting over Cristiano Ronaldo. And that's pretty crazy to think about. It was just a couple years ago that Zlatan and Michael Bradley were having beef in the MLS, the Super Scrub League. And that was pretty funny, because Zlatan told Michael Bradley, I've scored more goals than you've played games, boy.
He's not wrong.
Do you think Michael Bradley calls him granddaddy?
He should.
He definitely calls him daddy.
So more to come in the Italian league as that league kind of shakes up. We'll revisit it a little bit later when Alex's teaser comes into fruition. But really, guys.
Well, I think we could stay there a little bit right now. Cristiano Ronaldo has come forward saying that he wants to play basically for many more years and as long as he can. Age doesn't matter to him. Has he sort of found his new home in Serie A?
I think it's the beaches, man. Cristiano Ronaldo, the thing is he's looking across the league and seeing Zlatan do it at 39. And he's probably like, I got to beat that record. So he's going to outplay Zlatan no matter what. Ronaldo has the craziest regimen for sleep. He doesn't have like a bedtime. He sleeps on like a 6-hour increment. So his sleep works from games and practices backwards. So he goes through like certain sleep cycles, wakes up when that sleep cycle's over, gets into another one, no matter what time it is. It's worth researching. So when you guys are Googling this later to fact check Ben, Cristiano sleep, what's it called? Sleep practices. It's crazy. You should look it up if you're into sports science. It's probably the new wave. But yeah, I do think Ronaldo's around for a while. I don't see him going away. I also think, Italians live longer, right? So
I don't think he's going to stay in Juventus very long, though.
Why?
Personally. I mean, they've been talking about Juventus having some major book problems. They can't afford Ronaldo. They've been talking about, I think, I don't, where's going to change in the next, 6 months? I don't know. I think he could leave.
He could. I don't think he couldn't. He could do whatever he wants. He can come play for Iberia. Iberia, all for all we care, right? Like, that's not the problem. The problem is, I do think you're right, though. I did hear that, Steve, that Turin, Juventus are having problems in the books yet again.
Yeah, they're having a hard time affording his wage. I mean, I don't think he's going to retire anytime soon, but I have my doubts on how long you're going to be seeing Ronaldo in a Juventus jersey. I don't think they have anything to worry about this transfer window, but I think in the summertime, I wouldn't be surprised if I saw breaking news, Ronaldo leaves for XYZ.
Steve, let me ask you this. Okay. Who goes first, Ronaldo or Messi?
In terms of retiring or transfer?
Both.
I'd probably say Messi would retire first. I don't think he keeps as fit as Ronaldo. Who transfers first? They're both having problems keeping the books level. Juventus and Barcelona. That's a tough one. I don't know. I'd probably say Messi, just because Barcelona's voice. We said we can't afford Messi, and Messi has come out and said, I don't want to be here. So I'm probably going to go with Messi on that one. I don't think Ronaldo has said, I don't want to be here. It's more so the club can't afford him.
Yeah. How much do you buy into the fact that Messi is saying that he would like to play in the U.S. at some point? Is that some point now or 10 years down the line?
The things that he comes out publicly with, I am taking with a larger and larger grain of salt. At the beginning, he was very adamant about leaving, sending, the infamous bureau fax or whatever fax he sent and all of this stuff with Barcelona and how he's treated and how Luis Suarez, his best pal, left and all these different things and how he needs to leave and wants to leave and all this stuff. And now he's like, I could stay here. I'm committed. But the U.S. looks nice. And then, like, the whole Pep fantasy of, like, going to that reunion with Manchester City and Pep. I don't know. I don't know what to believe. I just feel like it's different every time he comes out to the press, which isn't often. But the story changes.
So, Lionel Messi going to the MLS, I think he was recently linked to Miami, which is pretty much just the David Beckham connection there. For those of you that don't know, both of them are heavily backed by Adidas, two Adidas legends. I think Adidas is trying to make that happen. Steve, as a non-spokesperson for Adidas, might have something to weigh in on that too. But I think really it was just the Adidas connection there. I don't think it makes sense for Lionel Messi to go to the States. It truly doesn't add up to me. I think he still has something to prove. If not, he's going to go into the sunset like we've been saying. I still think Man City is going to be it. But I think with his hurt ankle, it's going to jeopardize him going now. I think it'll be more likely to see some big movement come the summer. I mean, potentially, you're looking at a summer where Paul Pogba, Cristiano Ronaldo, and Lionel Messi are all looking to move. If I'm not incorrect, there's a bunch more of that caliber that are looking to jump ship as well. Not jump ship, but it's time for them to transfer.
What's Zlatan going to do?
Zlatan will do whatever Zlatan chooses to. Zlatan doesn't like leave clubs. Yeah, he moves the leagues to his liking. The world revolves around Zlatan. Shifting gears a little bit though, guys. So it's that time again tonight to talk about where are they now? So where are they now is that segment where we've brought you legends such as, drum roll, I've forgotten who we've covered other than Jack Andrew Gary Wiltshire, who has made a resurgence at Bournemouth since we've last spoken to him about him last week. So like I said, Jack Wiltshire was the where are they now. This week, no other than Mario Balotelli. Where is he at, boys?
Legend is a generous term, but I'm assuming he's kicking around somewhere in Italy.
He is. He's on a Serie B side, Monza. And he just had his debut. He scored 4 minutes into his debut and with his first touch of the game.
Dude, he's on a star-studded team. Well, who else is on that team? Prince Aubameyang?
No.
Oh, no. Kevin Prince Boateng.
Boateng. Right. See, I just make shit up. So, Kevin Prince Boateng, what a squad. He's had quite the journey, though. The last I remember is him in the States, back heeling the ball and getting benched for showboating against like FC Toronto.
I don't even know. Some MLS side. I don't even know if it was like, I think it had to have been just some sort of preseason thing or MLS All-Stars. I'm not really sure. I just remember him Roberto Mancini, manager at the time, losing his cool and immediately taking him off the field.
It was like watching like a teenage soccer club. When someone does something stupid and the coach is trying to teach a life lesson to a grown man.
Yeah. I wonder if he'd take him off if he'd have scored it because he missed it.
That's even better, right?
Coach, I scored. What? What? Right. It's the MLS. What do you want me to do?
What more do you want from me? But you want to talk about a guy who kind of like Zlatan, though, Ben. I mean, this guy's been like all over the place. I mean, he was at Inter Milan, City, AC Milan, Liverpool, AC Milan on loan. Then he went over to France, played for a couple teams. Now he's on a B-side team in Italy. Like, what happened?
He's got to be purely uncoachable, right? Like, you don't have that much talent and potential and end up at all of those clubs for such short spells in anything other than the fact that the coaches hate you, yeah. Right? Like, he's got to be unmanageable. He is class, though. He did a lot for the Italian league and brought a lot of attention to the amount of racism that exists in that league as well. He's, he is good when he's informed. The problem is he just was never informed, and all of his coaches were, like, benching him based on his attitude. Yeah. So, you know, another great in the where are they nows, if you will, if you'll consider Jack Wiltshire a great in there. Also, Jack Wiltshire has two middle names or two first names for a middle name, which I thought was pretty funny. Jack Andrew Gary Wiltshire.
Parents couldn't decide.
A lot of men in that household.
Three for one.
I'm upset that I laughed at that.
But you did laugh. That's the problem.
Don't be upset. Embrace it.
So, Steve, before we jump into our trash takes, tell us a little bit about your YouTube channel. Are you the second coming of Salt Bae?
That's a ways off. But the YouTube channel is Saint Even 92. It's the username kind of that I use on all social media. But just tackle a lot of stuff that I like to do. I've always liked filming things. There's product reviews I like to do, like Adidas product reviews, because I have a lot of Adidas products. Unofficial ambassador. Adidas hit me up.
Adidas, if you're listening, we'll take the sponsorship.
Albert as well, you can outfit them. But I do, like I said, I do that. I do video game stuff with like FIFA, just some other footy things. There's some footy videos with my friends, sometimes on my own, doing things like that. But the Salt Bae reference is I've taken one of my quarantine projects was figuring out how to cook food that doesn't taste like garbage, and I've gotten okay at it now, and I think it'd be funny to build some sort of little cooking series. So that's coming to the YouTube channel here shortly. So if you are interested, you know where to find it.
#PepBae.
Lift Kicks podcast, expanding your horizons.
Yeah. Now in your kitchen. So we will be doing reviews of ramen next week.
It's going to be some quality stuff.
Sure.
Yep.
Not the food, the content. The food's,
I know, that's what I was getting at. Oh, man. And on that bright note, what do you guys think? Time for some trash takes?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's like look ahead. I mean, we obviously got a good couple of games coming up. January 4th seems to be about the time that things start getting back to a little bit of regularness. So all the games coming up, what do you guys think will be the upset of these next probably 10 days?
It'd be funny to see West Brom ruin the party at Arsenal.
Yeah. That ain't happening. West Brom are in bad shape right now, I think.
West Brom had a point against Liverpool. Like,
yeah, but who didn't? So did Newcastle. West Brom just got spanked by Leeds 5-0. I'll go out on a whim here, and it's not a huge upset, but I think it's based on form and who's due a win. I think Sheffield United are going to upset Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace are on a downward spiral. Sheffield United, you would hope, would eventually win a game, so why not this weekend? Taking Sheffield over Crystal Palace.
You're going to like this one. Southampton to tie Liverpool. Three ties on the row. Liverpool doesn't know what to do with themselves. Comes up against Man United on January 17th.
And just smokes United.
Yeah. I thought you were about to call Southampton Liverpool tie 3-3. I was like, wow. That's cocky.
I'm putting scores to this, man.
Yeah. I think Fulham could maybe get a point or against Burnley. I know it's away, but I think that's not necessarily an upset, but Fulham kind of been restricted to the bottom three. I don't know if they've been seen too much outside of that. I think that they could potentially pick up a point or few there.
So I heard our three trash takes, if you will, Sheffield over Crystal Palace, Fulham over Burnley. You said Southampton drawing Liverpool.
Yep.
I could see it. Well, yep. Let's see if those trash takes come into fruition. And if we're wrong, you heard us wrong. And if we're right, we told you so.
Yeah. And what are we? We're 50-50 on our takes. So, I mean, yeah. That's got to count for something, right?
Yeah, kind of.
We're 100% on the takes that we wanted to win. So
that's right.
We were just kidding last week.
Yeah.
All right. And with that, I think that sums up 2020.
Yeah, 100%. It's been one ridiculous year. We should all tell everybody to like and subscribe to this podcast, but follow Steve's YouTube page as well for some great cooking tips. It'll make 2021 a better year.
2021 will be delicious thanks to Steve. And like Alex was saying, like, subscribe. Also, please leave us a 5-star review. None of that 4-star crap. We know who you are. 5 stars. Leave something nice about Steve's beard in the comments, and you might win an Air 5 from Ben. And if it's a really good review, an Air 5 from Steve. So with that being said, hashtag cancel Steve. And let's hope 2021 is significantly better than 2020. All right, guys. Peace out.
See ya. Ricky Ricardo. Ricardo. Kill me back. Kill me back. Ricky Ricardo.